Good afternoon, Memphis, Tennessee. This is the Andy Savage Show. I'm excited to have a special guest with me in the studio today, and I'm glad you have tuned in. We're going to be talking about the important relationship between parents and their teenage kids. Stay tuned. You're on the Andy Savage Show. Well, what a great day it is. Turned out to be a pretty good-looking afternoon here in Memphis or in the Mid-South. And if you're driving around listening to the show today, want to have you tuned in real close today. Keep your phones handy. Would love to have you call in and join us on the show today. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce the guest that we have in the studio with us. But want you to know that the lines are going to be open for you to call in and engage with our topic today as we talk about parenting teenagers. So I know it's a hot topic for many, and many of you are listening today waiting for that teenage child to arrive home after school. So be sure to get your phones ready. The number here is 901-683-0640, and we'd love to hear you call in and be a part of the show today. As you guys know, that we are here on the Andy Savage Show every Wednesday at 3 to talk about issues related to marriage, family, parenting, to try to bring to you some wisdom each week to keep you moving in this journey, what we often call the 7,000-day journey of parenting, and keeping you attuned to each other in marriage. So today I have a great friend, a special guest in the studio. His name is Brian Hausman. Brian, you are no stranger to the studio up here, but we're glad to have you today. Welcome to a live show here today.
Yeah, it's great to be here back with you guys again.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have Brian here. Brian and I had lunch today, and we got to talking, and it just seems so appropriate for him to join us today and talk about this subject, because so many parents raising teenagers today get to about age 13 or 14, Brian, and they just don't know what to do. They throw their hands up. They are frustrated. They're scared to death oftentimes of what's coming into their teenager's world. And I told you this at lunch, but I don't know anybody who has such a handle on this as you. So we're going to jump into this. You're going to be our expert today. Fair enough?
That's very humbling. I think I'm your expert because the president had to go back to the White House and he couldn't stop in the studio today with you.
That's right. He had some other things
I'm your second choice.
That's right. Yeah, you're the winner today. I vote for you. But we're gonna talk about this because we were talking about some pretty important topics over lunch, and as we always do, we end up running down a lot of rabbit trails,
right? Yeah,
and really opening up some issues that I think are important for families. So if you're out there listening and you have teenagers, I want you to call in. You can ask really any question at all related to raising teenagers. We want to open that up for you. We're going to talk about some specific things here with Brian, but we want you to feel free to ask any question at all. The lines are open, 901-683-0640, and you get to go direct to the source. And I want to mention a couple of things about Brian's ministry. Brian started an outstanding ministry called Awake to Life. You can find out all the information about what his ministry does at awaketolife.org, awaketolife.org. He's written two books, and I'm sure a number of books are coming on the way. He continually writes and writes articles and just really creates a lot of resources for parents. His first book was Engaging Your Teen's World. That book is available pretty much everywhere, but you can go to his website and find information about that book, Engaging Your Teen's World, as well as Tech Savvy Parenting, which is a book I'm really excited about. It's a video enhanced book, actually.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, it didn't matter what the topic was. If a church or school or community center wanted me to come and speak, whenever we would do the Q&A, you know, I could be there talking about sexuality, or they were talking about healthy relationships. During the Q&A, parents always wanted to ask questions about technology-related issues. That seems to be like the biggest issue that parents are kind of throwing up white flags and just saying, I don't know what to do. And so I decided to try to, you know, tackle this issue. So the book is written in bite-sized chunks. So each chapter is like 6 to 10 pages. So you can just read it as you need to and just put it down and then come back when you need to again. And so it's very topical-oriented, very much a how-to book. So that the goal was that by the end of that 6 or 8-page chapter, you got some very practical tools of what to do in terms of controlling how to address pornography with your kid, or how to talk to them about safe internet browsing, or setting parental controls on an iPod, or protecting your child child's online identity and their future and reputation, that kind of thing.
Wow, those are important issues. Now, tell the listeners, my favorite part of the book is the video elements that are embedded in this book. So talk about that.
Well, I wanted to write a book that would actually force parents to have to read the same way their teenagers read. And according to Amazon, they now sell more e-books than they do print books. Which I know Guggenheim wouldn't be, you know, very glad to hear that, but it is what it is today. So it's an e-book with 17 videos embedded in the book. So while you're reading it on your iPad or your iPhone or your Kindle, that you can actually click on the video and watch a video of me kind of going a little bit deeper into the subject matter.
Yeah, see, I love that, Brian. You're such a dynamic communicator. To get a snapshot of you doing what you do best, standing in front of a group of people, or in this case, a camera, sharing this wisdom from you, so you're able to read it as a parent,
right,
and then actually engage with it,
absolutely,
and really draw on your passion and on just what you've developed over the years as a voice into these issues. So
right, we were talking about lunch, just how so many times smaller churches don't get the benefit of having a professional, quote unquote, come and speak to them about issues.
That's right.
So in this way, they could actually just not just read it, but actually see me and somewhat kind of have a conversation a little bit.
Absolutely. You know? And I think that's a great point, too, just the fact that this is a resource that's for parents. But it's also, if you're listening and you're in ministry, you're a youth pastor, you're a pastor of a church, you're in some type of ministry related to families, I want to really encourage you to get this book, because it gives you an opportunity to answer the questions that you are going to be asked, if not already asked,
right,
each day or each week as you engage families, because particularly this stuff with media is such a big deal, mm-hmm. Brian.
It is. You know, and used to, like when we were kids, I think our parents, they would talk to our youth pastors about things like, my kid is listening to this kind of rock music and I don't know what to do about that,
yeah,
you know, and that kind of thing. It was always dealing with teenagers. But now, the technology stuff, I get questions from parents of like second, third, fourth graders that are having to deal with this stuff, because this is the first generation of children that they have never lived without the internet. Mm. You know, you got 2-year-olds that know how to use iPods now.
Absolutely.
You know, and the more than 1/4 of all children in elementary school now have a cell phone. I was just reading this morning that according to new stats, 54% of all 13 to 17-year-olds have smartphones, which means more than half of all teenagers in America have instant access to the web. I mean,
wow.
Anything that's inappropriate out there, they can get it whenever they want to.
They can get their hands on
it. Yeah, so all of us are just kind of grasping a little bit, trying to figure out how to manage this.
That introduces a whole new level of fear for a parent.
It does.
As we look at our children, I mean, I think any parent that cares about their children attempts to try to protect them and protect that innocence for as long as we can.
Yeah.
And this just creates a whole new level of fear that what can my child get into even as I'm trying to protect them.
Right.
And so we were talking today that there are so many things that children are exposed to, kids are exposed to, teenagers are exposed to, and we see these statistics and these reports that come out that tell
right.
us all the damage that's being done. So share with us some of your thoughts. You're writing an article right now on this concept of blaming everything else regarding all the problems that our kids are having. We're
right.
always looking for a source of blame. Let's talk about that subject.
Yeah, it's called the technology scapegoat. And that, you know, our culture, we tend to, because of our fallen humanity, it's difficult for us. Our first inclination when something goes wrong is we want to look outward.
Mm.
You know, that if we have problems in our marriage, well, it's my spouse's fault. If the economy is going bad, it's the president's fault. You know, whatever it is, we always want to look at someone else. It's not my financial choices that's causing it. It's someone else's that's doing this.
That's right.
So whenever something goes wrong with our teenagers, because we still see them as these perfect little children, you know, who could do no wrong. So when something happens to them, our first inclination is to think through, to try to find someone else to blame, some scapegoat as to why my kid has gotten involved with this. So there was a new article that just came out 2 days ago on MSNBC that the headline was, "Teenagers with smartphones are more sexually active."
Yeah.
And I thought, are you serious? You're going to lead out with that? Because I can't imagine, as a parent, I'm thinking, oh no, we can't get a smartphone. Or if I find out my kid is having sex, my first thought is, it's that smartphone.
Let's take the phone away.
Right. Let's take the phone away. Then they won't
have
sex.
That will cure the issue. Absolutely. Yeah. This type of sort of hysteria that
right.
goes on around these things, it almost leads us to believe that we are completely out of control.
Right.
And we are sort of subject to just the winds of culture, and we're just going to have to take what we get in mm-hmm. many regards. And you think things are really different than that.
I do. I think we've got two choices as a parent. Either I can instruct my child and say, now you go do it, which is kind of a teach and then and send out mentality.
Yeah.
Or I can teach and walk alongside of, you know, that says just like Jesus, when he taught the disciples, he didn't just say things and walk off and say, now you guys go figure it out. But he was, as he was walking along the way many times, mm-hmm. is when he would teach. So as they're experiencing life together, looking for those teachable moments. So whether it's at the mall and you see a poster, you know, an image, a billboard, or you're driving down the street, or you're on the radio. I was telling some parents the other day who were really upset about sexual content and songs on the radio.
Sure.
And they said, how do you handle that? And I said, well, we listen to it. And she said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, my kids are 12 and 14. They're in high school and middle school, so they're going to hear it anyway.
Yeah.
So either I can act like they're not hearing it and mm-hmm. just turn the radio off, or we can listen to the song and then turn the radio off and say, hey, guys, why do you think she said that? What do you think she means about her body in that way? Why do you think it's okay for him to talk about women like that? And now we're having a relevant spiritual conversation about culture, you know, with my high school and middle school. I think that's the whole walking along the way, as you know, teaching as you walk along the way.
Wow. See, that's so helpful for parents. And those of you listening today, if you have particular issues you would like to throw out to Mr. Hausman as he's with us today, feel free to call us 901-683-0640 and ask your questions regarding parenting and raising teenagers. We live in a world that throws a lot at our kids, and we have to manage it. And what you were just talking about, Brian, comes back to this idea of I'm going to either put my head in the sand mm-hmm. or I'm going to choose to face these issues head on and use some wisdom and mm-hmm. use some engagement with my kids and really tackle these issues head on. Because I think mm-hmm. what many parents fear, particularly teenage parents, they feel this pulling away from their teenager. Their teenager's looking for independence. They're hanging out with their friends. It's obvious they're maybe they seem very much against their parents or mm-hmm. very rebellious against parents. And so there's this sense that parents could say, well, if that's what my teenager wants, then that's what I'll give them. I'll give them that room. How do you respond to that? Parents who sort of disengage at the level of teenagers.
Well, I think the reason why sometimes we disengage is because we buy into the same pop culture lies that our teenagers buy into sometimes. That, you know, we see teenagers that are heavily influenced by marketing schemes that, you know, whether it's images in magazines or on TV shows that convey to them who their sexuality should be, mm-hmm. how they should behave as a sexual person. And then, but as parents, we see the same images and we conclude of the same TV shows and we think, oh, well, that's what teenagers are really like. You know, that teenagers don't have any respect for parents, or they don't want to listen to their parents, or they need their independence. And so we just back off. Instead of saying, now, wait a minute, God has put me here not just as the responsible person, but as a – he's given me the privilege of being able to lead this person through life to instruct them. You know, we just – as a joking thing, just this past Sunday at church, our youth pastor was talking about five things from the Bible that you never knew about dating. Of course, the first one was that the Bible says nothing about dating.
Yeah.
And then he asked the question – there's about 100 teenagers in the room. And he asked the question, and he said – he was talking about arranged marriages. And he said – how many of you would be okay if your parents had to arrange your marriage? And my son was – he and this other girl were the only ones that raised their hand. And he was shocked, and he asked him in front of everybody, why would you be okay with that? And he said, word for word, he said, I trust my dad's judgment.
Wow.
And I was like –
you're floored.
I'm done. I can wrap it up, you know, put a bow on it. We're okay.
See,
right there.
That's why I call you the expert on parenting teenagers, Brian, because – your kids are telling the story. It's not you. It's the kids that are telling the story.
Right.
And that's brilliant, man. That's engaging your teenager.
Well, there's going to be a natural tendency because of an adolescence. They are getting that place in their life where they need they were made for independence. They're made for identity. They want to know their purpose, their reason for being. And so sometimes they do begin to venture outside of our circle of influence. Mm-hmm. And other influencers are going to be a part of their life. But either I can choose to say, well, everything in the world is against me as a parent, I give up, or I can choose to say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, I choose to submit my authority to your authority, so will you lead me as I lead my kid?
Yeah. See, that's so strong. And, you know, when I think about these parents who allow this distance to be created, I think they forget that teenage kids are still kids. And they really do want mom and dad engaged. They really do want that wisdom, even though they don't say it or maybe not act like it, and maybe even roll their eyes or snub their nose at their parents. I think they're listening more than we realize.
They are. I believe that one of the four core values in the life of a teenager is they're looking for security. They're looking for someone who's got their back. They're looking for someone that's going to provide a sense of security and safety for them in their life. One of my former students many years ago, she had a really rough time in high school, a lot of unhealthy behavior. And so I was interviewing her at a coffee shop many years after when she was out of college. And I said, tell me about your experience in high school. What happened? And she said, well, my freshman year, I got invited to go to an after the football game party by a senior guy. And I thought, well, there's only one thing that senior guy's looking for, and it's freshman girl.
Sure.
And she said, by the end of my senior year, we were getting drunk just about every weekend.
Wow.
She said, my sophomore year, it was marijuana. My junior year, it was ecstasy and acid. She said, my senior year, all the wheels came off. And I'm thinking, well, the others sounded bad enough.
What does that mean?
How did that one get so bad? And she said, the day before my senior year started, my parents set me down for a special breakfast at the dinner table. And she said, during breakfast, my mom said to me, you know, sweetie, your dad and I, we've always taught you right from wrong. And we've taught you how to make good choices. So this year, just to show you that we trust you, we're not going to have a curfew for you because we trust you to be home when you should be home. And see, in her parents' mind, they thought, we want to show her that we trust her, that she's maturing. But in her mind, she's saying, you're removing this hedge of protection from me, and you're forcing me to make decisions that I am not equipped to make yet.
Wow. Wow. See, you're coming back to an issue that parents have to realize, that as long as these kids are in our care, they need boundaries, mm-hmm. they need direction, they need involvement from us. Mm-hmm. And that never goes away as mm-hmm. long as they're in our home.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful too when boundaries are a big deal in me, not just in my parenting with my kids, but whether it's in marriage, whether it's in you and I and our friendship,
sure.
and all of life, there's different boundaries. And so I think part of teaching boundaries to our kids is to help them understand that mom and dad, we have boundaries in our life too.
Yeah.
So for instance, back to the technology thing, it's important for part of taking responsibility with my kids and teaching them how to use technology in a healthy way and a godly way is to say, hey, there's a set amount of time that you can be on your iPod, or there's certain places you can and can't go.
Sure.
And so in teaching my kid that there's a time limit, that for us at home, it's that you have to be off at 9 o'clock and it's got to be plugged up, on the counter. If you breach that boundary too many times, there's going to be repercussions.
Yeah.
So the first time, there's grace. Second time, there's a conversation. Third time, it's got to be taken away for a season of time so you can relearn good boundaries. But part of me telling him that is I said, if I got on my iPad and I get on fantasy football all day long at work, I'm going to get fired. That there's boundaries on me as dad as well, that there's the responsibilities I have too.
So you have vision. You're pointing to what one day will be.
Yes.
And your kids are going to grow up into that reality. And if they don't have the skills to say no, to draw some lines, to create some boundaries, then they will get there and you will have set them up for disaster.
Absolutely.
And so I think as parents, as you listen today, we have to take those steps. We have to take this seriously. And Brian, as you talk about media and you talk about these scapegoats that parents
right.
throw out there, let's talk about some of those. I hear it all the time from parents. Mm-hmm. It's the rap music. It's the too much time on video games. It's too much time on the phone. It's kids are getting cell phones too early. What's really going on?
Well, one of the misnomers I think we have, maybe it's a cultural myth when it comes to the internet, is more than 90% of all teenagers are on Facebook. And now I'm hearing more and more parents and even like experts start to say stuff like, well, the reason why kids are becoming antisocial and they don't know how to engage in conversations anymore is because they spend so much time online. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is there was a research report that came out just last month from the Pew Research Institute, which in my opinion is the most respected mm-hmm. research institute on the internet. And they interviewed thousands of teenagers about their interaction, their online community with Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, those kind of things.
Sure.
And over 3/4 of all teenagers said that they feel closer to their friends because of their interacting with them online. that they're not just talking face-to-face at school, but that they continue that conversation later online.
Sure.
That they're not abandoning face-to-face conversation, but we think that, oh, this is a bad thing. But the teenagers are saying, no, this is actually enhancing my life.
And so teenagers have found a legitimate relational connection here.
Absolutely. Right. So we think, again, that this is to blame if my kid doesn't know how to carry on a conversation around adults. That we got to figure out some reason why that's happening.
Sure. You know? So we're pointing to social media.
Absolutely.
Involvement, all that.
One of the others is I hear parents say the reason why kids are sexting, you know,
okay,
which is a sexual oriented flirtation, you know,
sure,
either through a nude or semi-nude picture or a sexual oriented comment, you know, online or a text. The reason why they're doing this is because they spend so much time online, they don't know proper social boundaries anymore.
Mm.
But we're not seeing actually any scientific data to back this up. Again, it's that we got to find something to blame that doesn't keep me as a parent to say, what's my role in all this?
Mm.
Did I ever actually have a conversation with my kid about how to use this stuff appropriately and, you know, the inappropriate ways to flirt, you know, with a,
sure,
with a boy or with a girl? Or how, what does it mean to honor a boy or a girl, you know? So with my son, he and I've had many conversations about girls in the youth group or girls in his homeschool groups. And what does it mean to honor and respect this other 14-year-old girl in the way that you interact with her?
Yeah.
But if I don't have those conversations, it's going to be easy for me to blame somebody else.
Yeah. That's obviously the when we feel something going wrong, the easiest thing to do, like you said at the top of the show, is that we like to blame and point to something else because we didn't take personal responsibility.
Right.
And if there's anything that the listeners on this show know, is my passion for parents taking personal responsibility, being intentional in this role of parenting. We have 7,000 days from crib to college.
Right.
That's what we get as parents.
Yep.
And how important it is to take every day seriously and to take these conversations seriously and to be aware, because sometimes I think probably a good bit of the problem with technology in our homes is that mom and dad won't put it down.
Absolutely.
And you see, you got kids growing up in homes where dad's glued to his BlackBerry or to his smartphone or to the television, and they just don't have a relationship with dad.
Absolutely.
And now with, you know, moms are no less guilty.
Absolutely. I tell parents, I say, you know, moms, if you're out there and you pick up your kid from middle school and they're riding in the car and all of a sudden your daughter is having one of those moments where she wants to open up and talk with you and she's just prattling on about what happened in her day and, you know, it makes no sense to you, but she's just opening up and sharing, and all of a sudden your cell phone rings and you say, hang on, sweetie, let me get this for a minute. I don't know any other way to say it than you just dishonored your kid.
Wow.
Because you just said that this piece of technology in your hand is more important than this living, breathing gift sitting next to you.
Yeah.
You know, and I know dads, we are tired. You get home from work, you just want some me time. You just want to be quiet and you know, disengage for a few minutes. But when your kid is just, they're just dying for a few minutes with you, and you say, no, I'll talk to you after dinner. I'll talk to you later. You know, I don't know. When we relationally stiff arm our kid, you know, by keeping them at distance, they don't know how to read that other than you don't care about me right now.
That's right.
And for them, it's all about right now.
That's right.
In the moment. And so I'm including me in this. We got to posture our hearts to learn to say no to some other things so that we have time to say yes to our kids.
Mm. Let me give you one question before we have to wrap up the show today. The expert in the studio with me today gets five-part response.
Oh,
what are the five things parents of teenagers need to do to make the most of raising teenagers? Give me five things, five pieces of advice, five things you've seen working with parents of teenagers, the five things teenage parents need to remember today.
Well, I think the top thing would be prayer, and not just praying for yourself, but actually praying with your kid.
Wow.
And I tell you, it is such a gift to me when my son and I live in such a relationship with each other that he trusts me to come and have real conversations together.
Yeah.
And I try to end those conversations, and I'm not perfect by any means, but when he comes to me and shares with me something difficult he's dealing with, that I live with the reality that this child is not just my child, but he's also my brother in Christ.
Wow.
And so just like you and I, Andy, live in a relationship where, you know, today at lunch I was asking you to pray about some things
yeah.
for me. And the same thing, if your son comes to you and shares something honest with you, you know, that he's your brother in Christ.
Yeah.
And so just as I would pray for you, I'm going to take the opportunity to pray with him, not just say, man, thanks for sharing that with me, but I'm going to actually pray with him about this. So he sees that we have a multi-pronged relationship, he and I. I'm not just his father and he's my son, but we're friends, we're brothers, you know, we're in this together. You know, the next one I would say is, I don't know if we got time to get through five or not.
This is number two.
You know, the next one I would say is time. You know, just that time that we spend together. I was telling you at lunch today how important it is that I weigh every speaking opportunity I get, that I'm going to weigh it and say, is this more important than the time I have to give up away from my family? You know, and the next one I would say is just touch. You know, psychiatrists, I tell parents this just jokingly, psychiatrists say you need eight healthy touches just for good physical health. You know, so if you think your kid's crazy, you know, just hug them every now and then.
They need a little touch.
Right. And so, but I do think it's important, and I've seen it even when it gets uncomfortable sometimes for our kids when we hug on them too much. But then I'll see at church sometimes my daughter will come up with her friends and just put her arm around me. I'm thinking, man, I've earned that.
That's right.
You know, because I've shown her respect, she feels comfortable reciprocating that even in front of her friends.
Wow.
You know, the next thing I would say, it's important to, if I want respect as a parent, if I want honor as a parent, then I have to show respect and honor by not belittling my kids' experience. When we say things like, oh, you'll get over that, that's just puppy love. You know, that's belittling what's their reality right now.
Wow.
You know, when I roll my eyes at things that happen to them in their life, and for them, this is like weighty on them.
Yeah.
That's just saying, I don't respect where you are and what you're going through.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today on the Andy Savage Show. Yeah. It is always fun to have you with us. And if you were listening today, I want to just thank you for tuning in and encourage you to tune in next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. We will be back here with a very special interview with a couple that I don't want you to miss. If you are praying for a hurting marriage, maybe hoping to reconcile and keep your marriage together, do not miss next week's show right here on AM 640 at 3 o'clock. If you want to find out more about me, please visit my website, andysavage.net, and follow me on Twitter at MakeSense. And I hope you guys have an outstanding Wednesday. And we will have you right back here next Wednesday at 3 o'clock on The Andy Savage Show.